former 30-year official in the CFL. Bud Steen is now the Western Evaluator for the CFL for officials. Steen, how are you?
Is it Grieger or Gregor?
Shut up.
I'm great, man. It's a gorgeous day out there, and it's really looking up for Thursday. I'm very excited about the home opener.
You were hacking it around at the links this morning. What'd you shoot?
I'm not going to say because it was
it
was embarrassing.
Like 100?
No, 98. It was bad.
Wow.
Was that
with mulligans?
Mulligans? No. You don't play mulligans. Like,
what do you normally shoot?
At the Highlands.
What did you normally shoot?
That's about 10 over.
10 over.
Yeah,
Ooh.
Yeah.
So do you get rattled when you're playing that bad? When you're basically two holes, you're a shot up.
No, I get pissed. I just get pissed off at myself because I know I'm better.
Are you a club thrower?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm an expletive thrower.
Oh, expletive thrower.
Yes.
Join the club.
Yeah, exactly.
Club. Interesting. We were looking at stats. Chris Jones came out and he was talking about the penalties are up in the CFL early on.
Yep.
Now, the league expected this, correct?
Yes. Yes. We made some very significant adjustments in the rules for 2015. And this was done with a lot of consultation, a lot of consideration, because the league felt that the pace of the game was not what they wanted, that the fans were not getting what they wanted, that we were looking for more offense, more scoring, more excitement, more open play. And so, as a result, there were a number of rules that were changed, and we talked about many of them last week. We've got holding the linemen now on the line of scrimmage until the ball is punted on third downs. We've got the 5-yard contact zone for the defense so that the receivers now have a clearer opportunity to get open. And so some of the increase in penalties are in these areas, but from what we're seeing so far, and of course it's early days. You know, we're only 8 games into the season.
Exactly.
But it looks like things are moving the way that the league wanted them to go. Scoring is up. Net offense. This is an interesting net offense so far this year. 725 yards a game, up 11% over 2014 at 652 per game. Passing yards up. 557 yards a game from 481 last year. So there is a lot more offense. Now, penalties? Yeah, penalties are up. We're up to 29 a game now because there's a major adjustment period that is going to be necessary for the defenses to be able to handle the new rules, number one. And there's also an adjustment period for the officials, and we explain that to the teams. Give our guys some room here because it's just going to take us a few weeks to change 20 years of how we've officiated.
And a lot of that comes from the defensive pass interference. It's interesting. Last year, after 2 weeks, there was 10 defensive pass interference calls. This year, there's 12. So not a huge increase. The big increase, though, has been illegal contact on a receiver. Last year, through 2 weeks, there was 5. This year it's 21, and that's basically the 5-yard rule.
That is correct. That's the 5-yard rule. The defensive player has to get off the offensive player. He can make contact head up with the receiver within 5 yards, and he can maintain that contact until 5 yards, and then he's got to get off. And he, in many of these cases, they're just not doing that, or they're starting to wrap him up at 7 or 8 or 9 yards. We see a major increase here. The coach's frustrations, though, shouldn't be too far from home because a very significant feature of the penalties so far in 2015 is the increase in number of offsides. They've gone from 29 at this point in 2014 to 53 offsides in 2015. Now, are the quarterbacks getting trickier with their cadences or what's going on? Interesting, the stats don't break down offensive offside versus defensive offsides, but I've seen more offensive offside penalties this year than I could remember for the whole season last year.
Well, and that's the thing that I don't understand. Last year, through 2 weeks of the season, there was 29 offsides. This year, it's 53. There's been no rule change about offside.
No.
Right, now, I know the umpire has moved into the offensive backfield, which you thought would be better for him to get holding calls.
Correct.
Right, and I'm looking at...
But he's got nothing to do with the the offsides.
Exactly, and holding's pretty much the same. You know, there's four more, so a half one
that's
in each game. So not a major one. But So what do you think, when you watch the tape, why is there so many more offsides? And is it more offensive or defense?
It's more defensive offsides. We've got guys crowding. We've had quite a number of lineup offsides. So the defenses, for some reason, feel that they're going to get an advantage by being 4 inches closer to the ball at the snap. I don't understand that. So there's a lot of that. Frankly, I can't explain it other than, you know, maybe the defenses are just a little more anxious because of their concerns about what's going on, 5, 7, 10 yards downfield. You know, I can't put my finger on it. One of the other new rules, the illegally downfield on a kick, well, we've only had two of those flagged. All of the passing infractions, illegal contact, the defensive pass interference, and illegal interference penalties make up a significant chunk here. That's 39 of the, 232 infractions that have been called. So that's a fairly significant portion of them. The illegal interference is up. That's situations, Jason, where the offense messes itself up. The line players, the block of five, the guards, tackles, and center, get downfield beyond the neutral zone and start blocking or interfering with the defense, and the quarterback then throws the ball across the line of scrimmage. Their play may not be significantly different from 2014 or 2013, but we're watching it much more closely. It was a focus for us at camp, and so our guys just might be better at catching it this year than in the past.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. Now, there are a few. We expected, illegal contact and receiver to increase, and it's up substantially, 320% from 5 through to 21. Now, that's something that obviously will likely come down. It's going to end the season way more than it was last year, strictly because it's enforced more. Now, the rule has definitely changed after 5 yards. In all of your studies, you talked to the league, and it felt like, okay, after 2 weeks, players would catch on. Now, BC and Edmonton have only played one each. So the Eskimos, who currently lead the CFL by a significant margin, granted it's only one game, but the Eskimos in one game took 22 penalties. The next highest average is 16, both Toronto and Winnipeg. That's them having taken two penalties each, or in two games each, excuse me. So Edmonton right now is 6 higher than every other team. Right. They flat out have to be more disciplined.
Yes. You need a little bit more focus on certain aspects of the play. I might also put it down to Fort McMurray. I don't know what happens in Fort McMurray, but both of the games that were played up there were flag-filled. And sometimes goofy things can impact football players. So I expect to see a much more disciplined, a much more confident, a much more comfortable football club playing here on Thursday night because the boys are back home. They're not in Spruce Grove. They're not living in hotels or scrambling around to get apartments and that. And they're playing in Commonwealth. And so one would think that they're going to feel better and do a better job.
Is the league and the officials specifically, are you sending tape out to the teams, this showing them highlights? See, this is why it was whistled for illegal contact on receiver, because that's clearly the one that's had the biggest increase.
Yeah. So the answer there is no. The teams generally are communicating with us. Not every team does it to the same extent. This football club does send in quite a number of plays. We're all on the same system. We all use the same cut-ups. So one coach, Craig Dickinson, is the primary communicator for the Eskimos. He'll collect all of the questions from the various other coaches, send in a dozen plays to Toronto, and Glenn Johnson, the vice president of officiating, will review the play carefully. He'll communicate with the evaluator on the game, and we'll get a response back to the team generally within 24 hours. And a number of clubs do that. A number of clubs. There is a very open door and very high level of communication between the clubs and head office.
With the new rule change, Bud Steen joins us inside the Stripes, brought to you by Mobile One. With the new rule changes and the illegal contact being so high, was there a thought process from the league to say, let's be aggressive on this and just put together highlights from every week to every team, so you're not picking favorites, just saying, here we go, this is why this is called, send it, and have the players see it, because I think a lot of players, if they see it, they're like, okay, even if they don't agree, you'll be like, okay, he's going to call that, all right, I got to change my...
What we did this year, more aggressively than ever before, was put bodies into camps. We had people in every team's camps, And we told the officials to be aggressive. That is, get out there and communicate. Throw your flags. Talk to the players. No, you can't do that. You can't do that because of this. I spent time with the Eskimos going through film and saying yes, no, yes, no, you know, and trying to help the players understand what our point of view, what we would be seeing as officials, and hopefully... making this ball club a little more aware of what they're going to face when they get on the field. But no, in terms of continuing visual stuff, no. We're not sending out a bunch of stuff. You have to put yourself into the chair of the recipient, the coach that's just had his team's butt kicked the week before, and he gets a package of 8 or 10 plays. You're not going to receive that necessarily in a very positive light. So, we don't want to be wasting our time or aggravating the teams.
Talking about it's 2 weeks in, some new rule changes. A lot. The big change, of course, that we have seen was on the illegal punt and downfield on a kick, really, for the punt.
Yeah, the IDK,
which is a new rule. It's only been called twice so far in 8 games, which is good. But the no yards penalties are down from 14 through the first 2 weeks down to 7. So they've significantly shrunk, and my gut tells me it's not the big men who are getting flagged for no yards, right, in the past. So I'm wondering if collectively as a team, if guys are sitting back because they don't have as many players downfield.
There is that, but also understand that on special teams play in Canada, you're not putting your big guys in the block of five. You're putting your fast, efficient Canadian tacklers. Ryan King, for example.
He's a long snapper.
He was always leading the charge. He would snap the ball and he'd be downfield before anybody could block him. Now, I don't know if King got a bunch of no yards. I'll have to ask him. I think no yards is down for a couple of reasons. A, the IDK penalty, and two, there's fewer two and outs. So I think there's probably fewer kicks in a football game now than we've seen in the past. So, and frankly, statistics can be twisted in any direction you want. So it's early days. We're only 8 games in, and if we revisit this in 5 or 6 weeks, we could see things change quite significantly. I would hope that we would see a decrease in the technical fouls on passing plays, and I expect we will see that. Why do I say that? Because we're talking about professional athletes that know how to and can adjust how they perform on the football field. Example of that, in 2014 at this time, we had a dozen roughing the passer calls. This year we have 7. And it's not that we're missing these things. It's that the teams have adjusted how they attack the quarterback after the direction that came down starting last year with the Odell Willis hit on Zach Kolaris.
Which was clean, by the way.
No comment.
The interesting statistics now, Eskimo fans, here's the one that I thought through the first 2 weeks, offensive, defensive penalties are pretty much even across the board. The offense has taken 93 penalties. The defense has taken 94. Special teams, the cover team has taken 19. The return team has taken 26. A lot of those being illegal blocks and holding on the return. When you break down the Eskimos offense across the league, and this is where I know the Eskimos can be frustrated, but holding penalties, the Eskimos have taken 5 in one game. No other team has taken that many, and they play 2 games, right? Calgary and Hamilton have each taken 5 combined in 2 games. Montreal's taken 2. Ottawa's taken 4. Saskatchewan, Toronto, 3. Winnipeg, 2. And these teams have all played 2 games. Mm-hmm. Holding is not a new rule. That's something, you know, the Eskimos, you've got to have more confidence and you've got to have guys getting off the ball quicker. That, to me, when you're taking that many holding penalties, there's a clear lack of your guys just flat out getting beat.
Holding is going to kill you. It's going to kill any momentum that you might have in a game. It's going to steal points from you, as we saw in the last Eskimo game. That is an absolute killer. And so you need your strongest, quickest men on your offensive line so that, A, they get the angle on the rusher and they can do so keeping their feet moving and keeping their arms inside their body so that they're not hooking and tackling and impeding the defensive guys in a very visible way. Because in our game, it is legal to grab on to the defender. You can, as long as you've got him within the frame of your body on the part of his body that he presents to you, that's okay. It's when he starts pressuring out to the outside and your arms extend past the frame of your body, now you've got a foul.
Interesting to note, in only 2 weeks, we've seen 5 missed one-point converts. Yeah. There was only, I think, one miss all of last year, right? It was like 99.5% or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Teams are 8 of 12 on two-point converts so far, so better than last year,
yep.
Significantly up higher. When you see teams have already missed 5, I think you're going to see teams going for 2 points even more.
I think you will too, and frankly, that's exciting.
Yeah,
you know, that can really work into the strategy of stealing football games or putting football games out of reach. So coaches are going to really spend some time working on this and developing scenarios for strategies in their heads. And yeah, I think this is it's a wonderful new rule. 2-point converts from the 3-yard line and kicking from essentially the 32 now for a single point. It really has made a big change. And I know that we're not the only league that is looking at making this part of the game more exciting.
Well, really, you look at the 1-point convert, and the kickoff in the NFL has almost become pointless at times. All it does is kick the ball through the end zone. It's, to me, kind of a waste of time. Thankfully, the CFL is not really at that point just yet. The other interesting one, and it's very early in the year, but the Eastern Division won a grand total of 12 interdivisional games last year, 12 of 40. They've already won 5 of 6 early on this year.
It's interesting how these things go back and forth. You know, we'll see. You know, that obviously will change over time. We've seen some terrific performances. Trevor Harris in Toronto is playing lights out. Like he's playing like a veteran. And Rakeem Cato on Friday night, like, where is that guy? Where he's been hiding in somebody's basement or something? Like, good God, that he throws such a great pass.
And I know Rider fans are all livid because he was actually on the Riders negotiation list up until May, and they couldn't come to a deal. Mm-hmm. And then Montreal picked him up. He went to camp. And you know what? I'm sure for him, when you look at that, he's not dumb. He's, oh, well, geez, they've got Kevin Glenn and they've got Darren Durant. Why would I agree to anything to go there? Rather than be free and see if another team would pick me up that didn't have close to the quarterbacking depth that they had.
Exactly. So, you know, if he can stay healthy and continue to play at the level he did on Friday night, Montreal's going to surprise some people. Ottawa is another example. They're playing much better football than they did last year. So,
We talked about the positioning changes for the officials last week on the show, the side judge and the back judge. For those people who are going to the Eskimo game, you can see it firsthand now. Instead of lining up 25 yards downfield off the line of scrimmage, they're 15, so they're 10 yards closer, and they're going to be running with the players more. Talking to the officials, how have they adapted to the rules? What has been the easiest adaption? What have they struggled with the most talking to officials?
The downfield guys still are not totally there. They're not completely comfortable yet with being able to maintain the separation, because the key to officiating on passes is to see the separation between the defensive player and the offensive player, to see who gets a grab on whom, who's putting their hands out, et cetera, et cetera. And they're still working out individually how they do that. So there is a slight degree of adjustment still necessary there. The line of scrimmage guys are fine. They've got a little bit more on their plate because they're now
the umpire's position.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're having to range into the middle of the field a little bit more to cover passes deep in the middle of the field. It's coming. We knew it was going to take us a little bit of time. We have some very veteran officials who have been doing things one way for a decade or more, and they're being asked to change how they do things. So, that's making putting some pressure on them. But I'm very confident in the guys that we've got, and I know that we're gonna do well there, and it's actually going to help us cover the game better. One of the things about moving them up closer, we moved them up a bit on punts as well, and I think that may contribute somewhat to the increase in the illegal block fouls that have been called on kicking plays. I think we might be in a better position now to see that stuff, especially that's sort of deep in the first wave of the blockers that are going downfield. So, I mean, it's a chess game, and as we adjust, the teams adjust. And then we have to adjust because they've adjusted. So we're moving our guys because their guys are doing certain things in certain places on the field. And then we'll need to switch our guys a little bit, and then they'll see that, and they're going to move their guys somewhere else so that they can get away with stuff. Because never lose sight of the fact there's 7 of us and there's 24 of them. And so we can't cover everybody. We're going to miss stuff. We're going to miss stuff on every play. And it's the name of the game for the officials is to try to put yourself in the most important, most critical position to see the stuff that impacts that play.
Inside the Stripes with Bud Scene Jones, presented by Mobile One. Your 2 weeks of evaluating the officials, has there been one thing that you found a certain position maybe has struggled with? Is something, okay, you know what, we need to be better on our calls? Have they missed a certain amount of calls?
No, I've been very pleased with some guys. I've probably graded out more 100s this year than I had to this point last year. There's a couple of guys that have done exceptionally well. I am very, very pleased with a couple of our young guys. We've got a young man out of Ontario who's lights out. Line of scrimmage guy who's going to have a long career in the Canadian Football League if he keeps on officiating at the level that he is right now. So I'm pretty pleased with what I've been seeing. We've had some situations that I would have preferred not to have seen on the football field. You know, stuff missed, or I've seen some calls that were made that shouldn't have been made. But that always happens. I would say that to this point, I am generally happy. I'm not satisfied.
How does the evaluation work if an official calls a penalty that isn't a penalty? Is that graded out harder than somebody missing a call, or are they even?
They're even. They're minus two for either one of those.
Minus two.
If it's their primary point of coverage on that particular play. If it's not your primary, but you were in a position and should have adjusted to see it, it'll be a minus one.
Is there anything that's worse than a minus two?
Yeah, you can get a minus four if you totally poop the bed on a application of a penalty. That's minus four.
Does that ever happen?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean by application of a penalty?
So, example, we've had one this year where Team B, the defense, is called for piling. Piling by rule occurs after the ball is dead. So there is no point of last scrimmage, PLS. And in this particular game, they applied the penalty from the point of last scrimmage up 15 yards, automatic first down, where they should have gone from the point ball dead up 15 yards and automatic first down.
So they actually, the offensive team didn't, the ball should have been put up farther downfield?
I don't remember whether, there might have even been a loss on the play. So yes, they should have gotten more yards than they did.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, generally speaking, nobody knows that. There's a lot that goes on in the football mm-hmm. game.
Yeah, most people wouldn't. They would just be, oh yeah, piling on, okay, 15-yard penalty. Sure,
exactly. I evaluated the game on Saturday. And at one point I said to command center and to the supervisor, there's four people in Canada that know what happened on that particular play, because the head linesman, that it was a catch, fumble, turnover. But the head linesman did it correctly. He waited. He confirmed to himself that the defense had the ball. He looked at his upfield partner to make sure that he didn't have a different decision, and then he signaled by pointing forward. But before all of that, as soon as he was certain that it was a turnover, he waved timeout. And at that point, I said, guys, we got a turnover. Fans in the stands don't know that until he points upfield. But those of us, Glenn Johnson and the three of us were in the game.
How does the official signal timeout? He just does it himself with his hand?
No, he waves over his head, timeout.
That's usually, so for people going to the game, is that a tip-off that you're going to have a turnover?
Yep.
Good to know. So now you'll know. You can be smarter than the guy beside you. He doesn't catch on.
That's right.
I bet you $20, that's a turnover. Boom.
Yeah, just be careful because it might get
and
challenged.
That's when he's signaling his hand, kind of like waving his hands above his head.
That's right. That's okay. Right. But remember that all turnovers are automatically reviewed in Toronto, and so the officials on the field might be wrong. So be careful with your $20. I'd bet a beer rather than $20.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Bud, we will chat with you next week. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. A lot of fun.